no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
The Columbia Workshop is on the air, presenting radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production techniques. Called Slim. It is the work of John Haywood Lovelace. The musical score was specially written and is being conducted by Gail Kubik. Slim is produced and directed by Howard G. Barnes. The Columbia Workshop presents Slim.
He came from over the horizon and stood strangely against the sky like a cloud, a rain cloud lost from the storm. Yes, he was like a lonely cloud, seeking to shed a blessing of rain on some withered root, seeking to shade a slender blade of green grass from the severe sun. It was in September, early September, before the fall frosts had spread their chill across the California mountains. Unpicked grapes had shriveled on the vine and hung dry in the soft breeze. It seemed funny as I stood there and picked a handful. It was the only thing I had to eat all day. I left San Francisco early that morning and headed east. Hitchhiking was bad, and it wasn't until evening that I reached Colfax at the base of the Sierra Nevada range. The afterglow of the sunset made the sky overhead a dull, lingering red. The surrounding mountains were black monsters, silhouetted against the coming night. Lights began to flicker on in many of the houses, and in the distance, I could hear the wheeze of locomotives in the railroad yards. I made my way across the maze of silver rails and boxcars until I stood near a warehouse. I dropped my pack on the platform and sat down to ease my weary legs.
Going over?
Huh?
Going over the Great Divide?
Gee, I must have fallen asleep. I didn't hear you. Yeah, I'm going.
You look like you've been traveling.
Yeah. Trying to hitchhike east, but the going isn't so good.
Never ride in automobiles myself. Stick to trains. Always sure where you're going.
Well, sit down.
Oh, thanks, kid.
When is the next train going over?
Oh, around 9 o'clock.
I don't have a watch.
Never worry about the time, kid. There's plenty of that. I'd say it's about 8.
Well, how do you know?
Oh, I just look at the stars. They're never wrong.
The stars?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I looked at the man beside me. Even though it was dark, I could see the gaunt features of his face. His cheekbones punched a tight skin. And there was a light in the hollowness of his eyes that reminded me of the last glowing coals of a warm fire. His hair was long from lack of care and stained from being washed in smoke. Smoke of 1,000 freight trains. He shifted and looked across the yards at a signal light, and I heard the tolling of a church bell. I remembered then that the day was Sunday. Evening services were about to begin, and the bell was ringing out the time. 6, 7, 8. It was 8 o'clock. The figure beside me was dark against the dark.
There's a bit of a chill in the air tonight.
Are you going over?
Yep, I'll be on that train.
Where do you catch it?
This your first time, ain't it, kid?
That's right.
Well, you just stick with me. We'll make it.
I've never ridden on a freight before.
It's not so bad. Maybe a little cold up in the mountains.
Say, I just remembered. I have some sugared figs in my pack. Do you want some?
No, thanks. Don't seem to be hungry right now.
I got them in Frisco this morning before I left. Been saving them.
You go ahead and eat. Don't mind me.
Well, you can have some if you want them.
Had a set down last night. Never ate so much in my life.
Well, yes, but that was last night.
One regular meal about every 2 days, my limit.
By the way, I guess we might as well introduce ourselves. My name is...
Names aren't important, kid. It's what you are that counts.
Oh, yeah, but if we're gonna...
I've found that some of the best names are on the worst kind of people. Some of the best people have no name. So I'll just call you Kid, all right?
And what'll I call you?
Folks call me Slim.
Well, glad to know you, Slim. Where are you from?
Oh, I ain't from no place in particular. Got a recollection of some sunsets. Been around a number of watering holes. I can't tell you just where.
Have you traveled much?
I've seen a lot in my day. Some pretty, some not so pretty. Saw a kid fall off the rods. Watched a dame knife a bow for a dime. Best jail I ever was in was in Key West. But you stay away from the chain gang states. Rats won't even live in them holes.
Yeah, the cops picked me up in Los Angeles.
Don't get me wrong, I ain't kicking. Been around quite a bit, some of it not so pretty, but I ain't beefing. Yeah, I've worn denim so long that the stink in them would make a skunk faint. Had cinders so thick in my hair I couldn't comb it. And I've been so hungry that my stomach wrapped itself around my spine. Yeah, I've been around quite a bit.
I'm from Chicago myself.
Yeah? Ridden many a hot shot to try. Drags in the panhandle. Picked up a lot of loose change in D.C. Stood in plenty of soup.
Hey, they must be making a train.
Yeah, that's ours. They put on about 100 cars before they highball. Might as well walk over that way, kid. Hey, don't forget your pack.
He turned as he spoke and motioned for me to follow. There was experience in his walk as he made his way through the shadows. Once or twice he seemed to disappear. And then I discovered that he was just ahead of me. My nervousness at the idea of riding a freight train became less as I followed him.
She'll be pulling out soon. They're waiting for the pusher.
Pusher?
Mm-hmm. They put a locomotive on behind to help push her up the bridge. They're taking out the slack. Careful, don't get out in the light. Might be a railroad detective around. We'll catch it on the right side, kid. No danger of falling between the cars if you miss.
Well, aren't we going to ride inside?
This is a fruit train. All them cars sealed tighter than tombs. I must be having trouble with the brakes. Quiet, kid. Here comes someone. Just a brakeman. It's the highball.
Well, aren't we going to get on?
No. Let her roll before we flip her, kid. Take your time. Don't hurry.
When?
Not yet. Now, kid. Run alongside. Yeah, that's it. Grab the ladder. Get a grip. All right. Jump.
Come on, Slim. Get aboard. You'll miss it.
All right, kid. All right.
Slim! Slim!
There was no answer to my call. Suddenly, I realized that I was hanging on the side of a speeding train. Fearfully, I climbed the iron ladder, my shoes scraping on the car and the wind tearing at my hair. I pulled myself over the edge and lay flat on the catwalk, breathing heavily from an unknown fear. What had happened to Slim?
Well, that wasn't bad.
Slim.
For a beginner, you got real talent.
But I thought you...
Nope. Here I am. Ah, that breeze feels nice. Smell that smoke? That's oil. No coal burners on this run.
Slim stood tall against the wind, his shirt front slapping his stomach, and the tattered legs of his pants billowing like balloons. There was a smile on his lips as he watched the black smoke of the lead engine swirl into the night air.
Sorry if I scared you, kid. There's no use getting on too close to the front engine. If you do, you eat smoke instead of watching.
It is pretty, isn't it?
Yeah. Man-made clouds.
And blacker than the night.
Riding tops isn't the best thing in the world, but you sure do get to see the scenery.
You always ride tops?
Mm-hmm. Most of the time. I've ridden on flatties and in reef.
Well, I guess maybe I'm green, but what's a reefer?
Yeah, that's what we're riding. When they don't put ice in them, you can ride in the ice compartment.
Yeah, speaking of ice, that wind is getting colder.
Yeah, we're starting up the canyon. Oh, that's the lead engine. Everything okay. That's the pusher.
How high do we go?
Oh, about a mile. Of course.
Yeah, I guess it will help.
Look to the east, kid.
Yeah? It's the moon.
Rising to the top of the Sierras, and a sky full of stars.
Say, this blanket does help. Come on, sit down here and you can share it.
No thanks, kid.
But you've only got on a shirt over your skin.
Cold anymore?
Well, I certainly can feel it.
Now, you just wrap up and sit there, and I'll go up front and see if there's an empty.
Okay, Slim. Hurry. Bye. He leaned into the front of the long train. I watched his specter-like body grow fainter and fainter. For long moments, I waited, my body quivering with its first chill. I drew the blanket tight about me and looked once again in the direction Slim had gone. Someone was coming along the catwalk through the darkness. He came closer. Slim! Slim, did you find it?
What's that?
Did you find the empty?
No empties on this train, Bo.
Oh, I thought you were Slim.
Oh, just the brakeman. It's a cold night to be riding on top. Why did you wait till tomorrow?
Well, I...
The way things look, it's going to be below freezing by the time we reach the top of the range.
Oh, I've got a blanket.
Well, you'll need it, and then some. Hey, you must be in an awful hurry to make this trip tonight. Where are you going?
Chicago.
Well, you still got a long way to go. Tell you what you might do. Try taking the spur line at Borey, Wyoming. Get off at LaSalle Junction, Colorado, and catch a hotshot cattle train from Denver. That'll get you home in 31 hours.
Where did you say?
Borey. That's just west of Cheyenne. Still a long ride. Well, gotta check on things. Say, you seem to be the only hobo on this train. I guess the cold scared most of them off.
But Slim is up front someplace.
Slim?
Yeah, the fellow I'm traveling with.
On this train?
He went that way to see if he could find an empty.
Oh, there ain't anyone on this train besides you. Not up front, anyway. No empties, either.
But he just went that way a little while ago.
I didn't meet anyone. Didn't see anybody. Are you sure?
He's a tall fellow.
Well, if he did go up that way, he's not there now. Might have fallen off. Rough trip. Take it easy, Bo.
Sat there, stunned. Fallen off. Oh, no, Slim couldn't have. Slim knew the ropes. The air was becoming colder. The moon had risen higher over the mountains, and its crescent spread a pale light through the canyon. I looked over the side of the car, and then I pulled back in fear. The train was now creeping along the edge of a jagged cliff. A river lay far below.
That's the American River, kid.
Slim.
Looks like a silver ribbon down there.
But the brakeman said...
Didn't find any empties, but there's a car up ahead that's not as high as these regular reefers. We can lay on it and let the front car buck the wind.
Oh, yeah. The brakeman said it was really going to get cold.
I've seen it colder.
Say, where were you when he passed? He said he didn't see anyone.
The smoke was kind of thick.
He really scared me. He said you probably fell off.
No, not me.
We must be climbing.
We'll be hitting the snow shed soon. Getting high.
The air seems as clear as crystal.
Well, let's go, kid.
Where?
That car up front. Now, don't mind the moving train. You'll be all right.
Yeah, but I might fall.
No, you won't. Just follow me.
Well, wait till I roll this blanket.
Make sure what you're going to do, then do it.
All right, I'm ready. Lead the way.
Take your time.
Let's go.
Just lean into the wind.
Right.
On your face, kid.
What?
Fall flat. Down, kid, down.
What do you mean?
On top of the car before it's too late. You're all right, kid.
What happened? Everything went black.
That was the first tunnel.
Whew. That was close.
Just keep your eyes ahead. Ready?
Ready.
Follow me, then. Just step over, kid. Don't look down between the cars.
But the cars are swaying too much, Slim.
Get set, and then leap.
I watched him as he seemed to float over the break between the cars. At the end of the catwalk, I crouched tensely, with the wind seeking to push me backward. Slim walked on without looking around. 8, 9, 10 times I leaped across the gaping jaws between the cars, each time gaining more courage. I looked up and called out, "Slim! Slim, it's another tunnel!" He turned and waved as he did before. He was still standing when the train plunged into the smoke-filled shaft. I sprawled across the top of the car. Slowly, I rose to my feet as I rubbed away the burn of the smoke from my eyes.
It's the next car, kid.
I rubbed my eyes again. Slim seemed to be drifting with a clinging smoke.
Yeah, it gets mighty stuffy in a tunnel.
He motioned me forward to the end of the car.
This is it. It's about a foot and a half lower.
We jumped down and walked to the front. The wind wasn't as strong there, and I laid down along the catwalk. Slim stood tall and refused to listen to my plea to get down out of the cold wind. His answer was always the same.
It ain't cold.
Time and again, I puzzled over his words. Even though I was dressed warmly and wrapped in a blanket, I shivered with a heavy chill. It was cold. Yet Slim never complained.
Snow shed ahead.
Where?
Along that curve over there.
I looked in the direction he pointed. There in the half-light of the moon, a long shed straddled the twisting track like a thick snake. A hollow monster which protected the winding rails from drifting snows. Nearer and nearer it came, until finally the engine rushed into the funnel. And one by one, the cars followed. Our car came next.
We'll be stopping soon, kid.
Where are we?
Almost on top.
Oh, I hope it doesn't get any colder.
There ain't no heat in the moon at midnight.
That ain't pretty anymore, either.
Looks like a curved piece of cold steel.
Another tunnel ahead.
Yep. Swallowed by a mountain. Keep down, kid.
You better get down. It's just ahead.
Don't worry, kid. I'm all right. All right.
There were three more tunnels and two snow sheds. Each time, my body would yield to the warm air about me. And then the train would shoot out onto the frost of the mountainside. I'd see Slim still standing with the wind tugging at his clothes. His hair fought with the cross currents of cold until it became matted.
Lights ahead, kid. We're coming in.
The top of the divide, huh?
Uh-huh. We can pile off up here.
Sure hope there's some heat.
There's a roundhouse.
I don't know if I can move or not. I'm so cold.
Better stand up and move around a little bit.
Yeah, that should help. Oh, am I stiff.
Now, watch it when we pull into the yards. Keep down and stay out of the light.
When do we get off?
Let her stop first. Okay, kid. Careful now.
Oh, my legs.
This way, into the shadows. Over here is a door into the roundhouse. Wait. Flatten yourself against the wall. Someone's coming. Okay, now. Open the door and get inside.
Okay.
There's a boiler over there, kid. That means heat. Now be quiet. We can stand near that pile of sand.
What's the sand for, Slim?
To make the wheels grab for starting on slippery tracks.
Oh, say, does this heat feel good?
Quiet, kid. Gotta be careful in here.
Yeah. Boy, I couldn't have taken much more cold.
Well, better be getting back, kid.
Oh, Slim, I'm just beginning to get warm.
Well, that freight will highball soon.
I sure hate to leave.
Come on. Stay in the shadows. Wait. He's gone. Come on. Outside, quick. She's highballing. That's our car over there.
Got it. Come on, Slim.
All right, kid. All right. It's downgrade from here to Reno.
Any more tunnels?
Yep, one long one. And it's a bad one.
Yeah, couldn't be any worse than those others.
A lot of loose rock in this tunnel.
Hey, Slim. We're slowing down again.
Yeah. Streamliner almost due. They're clearing the switch. We're on the side.
Yeah, I think it's colder.
It's a morning moon.
Hey, what's that sound? That moon.
It's a streamliner. Right on time.
Coming fast.
Lie flat, kid. She throws cinders and dirt.
She sure did raise a dust.
Huh? She'll be in Reno at 5 this morning.
Oh, that's the way to travel.
Nah, too fast, kid. You never see anything.
Well, it ain't a cold way to ride.
No, it ain't cold.
And it ain't a hungry way either.
But I like this better. You see more.
Slim was strangely quiet after the streamliner had passed. The expectation that had been in his face as the train climbed the western slope was gone. He didn't speak until minutes later as the train began to twist around a curve.
This is the one, kid.
The train sped into the long tube, and I put my head down on my arm. The feeling of being buried alive seized me, and as I screamed against the roar, I gagged on the warm cloud around me. Suddenly, above the sound of the speeding train, I heard a crash. Something dropped on the car ahead and bounced over me. It careened along the catwalk and then dropped over the side. Once again, we were in the clear, cold night. I looked up and saw Slim standing as he had been before. He looked ahead.
He never prayed in my life.
Slim, what was it?
A rock fell on the car ahead.
I looked to where he pointed and saw a dent on the roof of the next boxcar. And the catwalk beside me was splintered.
They never prayed out loud.
What's that smell?
Hot iron. The brakes are beginning to smoke.
How long before the next stop?
Oh, soon. They check for hot boxes. Brakes get red hot going downgrade into truck E.
Well, I can't stand this cold much longer.
We'll get off there.
I don't remember much coming down into truck E. The train stopped several times to check the brakes, and the moon began to disappear in the west. I lay like a shivering puppy and hoped. And all the time, Slim was there near me. Yet he too seemed to drift like the smoke trail of the train. He talked less and appeared to be in deep thought. The same warmness I'd seen in his eyes before came back once in a while. It was the fire of life. But it didn't linger long, and the lines of his face were softer now. I stood up and shook the smoke from my clothes.
We're almost there, kid.
My hands are numb.
You'll be all right.
I can just get warm.
They're pulling in.
What time is it?
3:30. It ain't cold anymore. Careful, kid.
I lost my grip halfway down the ladder and fell with a thud on the gravel right away. Painfully, I got to my feet and started to follow Slim across the yards. The many signal lights confused me and my feet stumbled. I rubbed my eyes and approached a double set of tracks. Slim had already crossed the first tracks when he turned quickly and yelled,
"Wait, kid! Wait! Watch out! Watch out!"
An engine rushed by me, its escaping steam licking at my legs with a warm white tongue. I felt weak all over. If Slim hadn't called, I would have stepped in front of the locomotive. Quickly, I glanced both ways and hurried across the tracks to where Slim had been standing. I called out, "Slim! Slim!" There was no answer. He was gone. A yardman walked nearby, his lantern swinging in a brilliant white arc. "Hey, mister! Mister!"
"Yeah? What do you want?"
"Which way did that fella go?"
"What fella?"
"Why, the one who was standing here when that engine passed."
"I didn't see anybody."
"Why, you must have seen him around here."
"What was he, a hobo?"
"Yeah, that's right."
"Yeah, a lot of bows around."
"He was a tall, slim fella."
"Slim fella, huh?"
"He was wearing a white shirt."
"And a pair of ragged pants and no socks?"
"Yeah. Yeah, that's the fella."
"Was his hair kind of all twisted up, like maybe the wind had blown it?"
"Yeah, have you seen him?"
"Yeah, I've seen him."
"Where?"
"Why, over at the warehouse."
"In the warehouse? Thanks."
"Wait a minute there, son."
"Yeah?"
"Aren't you kind of mixed up?"
"Mixed up?"
"Where'd you come from?"
"Why, I came over the range tonight with Slim."
"You mean the tall fellow?"
"That's right. You're sure he's up at the warehouse?"
"Yes, son. I've seen him there, and so have a lot of other people in the last 50 years. Some see him at Colfax, or maybe at Blue Canyon, or in Truckee. You see, Slim comes over the Great Divide every night. Whenever a hobo rides the freight, Slim rides with him to see that he makes it okay. Maybe he's real. Maybe he ain't."
"You mean that Slim..."
"Can't say, son. But if you rode in on the 3:30, you rode in with Slim."
You have just heard the Columbia Workshop production of Slim by John Haywood Lovelace. The musical score was composed and conducted by Gail Kubik. The cast was as follows. Elliot Reed played the kid, Robert Dryden appeared as Slim, and Raymond Van Sickle was the railroad yardmaster. Howard G. Barnes produced and directed Slim for the Columbia Workshop. Columbia Workshop will present an original script by Bruce Stouderman entitled Thanks for the Memories, and Guy Della Chapa will direct. Your announcer is Sandy Becker for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape! Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Escape, brought to you by your Richfield gasoline dealer and the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York, marketers of Richfield gasolines, motor oils, and other petroleum products. Look for the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps.
Tonight, we escape to the Old West in the story of a boy who never owned anything but a gun. As Joel Murcutt tells it in his exciting tale, Sundown.
The sun is kissing the top of the mountains, and in a minute the shadows will start to sneak along the street. It's sundown, and you can't do nothing to stop it. Everybody knows that. That's why the town looks like a ghost town. Not a horse nor a rider in sight, not even a tumbleweed. Oh, there's folks around, all right, looking out from door cracks and windows. And now the street ain't empty no more. Here's what they've been waiting for. There's Kirby Hunsaker coming out of the saloon at one end of the town, and there's Ben Ford coming from a liver stable at the other end. Both of them walking towards each other slow, right hands hanging like claws, an inch from the gun holsters. In a minute, one of them will be dead. Kirby Hunsaker or Ben Ford? Little Ben. Nothing but a baby when I picked him up off of the desert 15 years ago. Hold up a minute, Sam.
What is it?
Over there, a dried out hole, see?
Yeah, looks like a man.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, it's a man right enough, or what's left of him.
Oh. He's come a long way for water. Come to the wrong place. Give me a hand with him.
You alive?
I don't know. Well, yeah, he's alive. Canting.
Here, friend. Swig this.
Better hold it to him.
Huh?
Son's got his eyes. He's blind.
Oh.
Drank you. Drink just a little bit of it. Oh, it ain't gonna help him much. Burn clean through.
Yeah.
That better?
Thanks.
My wife and my kid.
Yeah, yeah, where they?
Back there. Where I left the wagon. Animals died. I came for water.
Better give him some more, Dan.
No, he don't need it no more. All we can do is find his wife and kid, if there's anything left to find. There was something left. A sun-baked wagon in the midst of that hellish inferno, a dead woman and a kid, 5-year-old boy. His face is burned, his lips is cracked with fever, but his eyes stared out across that desert like they was following some nightmare that nobody else could see. He didn't cry, he didn't whimper, he didn't talk. We gave him water and he took it. Wasn't no place to send him, and he just stood there watching us as we buried his mother.
Well, what do we do about him?
A kid? Take him with us, I reckon. Ain't much else we can do.
Well, ain't nobody on the ranch to take care of him.
No, ain't nobody here neither. He's like a little cactus, Sam. He'll grow or he'll die. He grew. Big, raw-boned kid, and by the time he was 12, he could handle a man's work. And I had a feeling for him, a feeling like he was my own. A feeling that could make me hurt when I looked at him.
Dan?
Yeah, Ben?
Do I have any money?
Well, yeah, I reckon you have. You work for your keep.
How much do I have, Dan?
Well, now, I don't know. It takes some figuring. But this is your home, boy. Everything that's here is yours.
Do I have enough to buy a horse?
Why, I reckon so.
Then I want my own horse.
See. All right, boy. Take your pick.
That 3-year-old black with a star on his face. I want him.
All right. You just bought yourself a horse. Yeah, he'd bought himself a horse, but it was more than that to him. It meant he had something that was his, come flood or thunder, something in the world that belonged to him and not to nobody else. It gave him a reason for being alive, and he started to build his life around that black horse. No horse ever got care like that. Ben had had the horse for almost a year when Kirby Hunsaker came. He rode in one afternoon while me and Sam was down at the corral. Ben was in town with a buckboard picking up supplies when Hunsaker rode in, just pounding leather.
Well, Mark. Well. Howdy.
Howdy. Your horse looks like he could use a rest, Ranger.
Need shoeing. He'd be all right. I'll trade him and cash for a fresh horse.
Ain't nobody gonna ride a horse of mine that way.
Maybe you didn't hear me. I said I'm going to trade him. That means I'm going to trade him. My name's Kirby Hunsaker.
He said the name like it should mean something, and it did. Kirby Hunsaker, a name that was drifting all over the West with a trail of blood behind it. Stagecoach drivers and travelers carried it on their tongues, and he knew it. He had a face like a woman and eyes like a steel trap, and there wasn't no glove on his right hand. It was brown and weathered from sun and wind, and it hung close to his right side like a claw, never more than an inch from the butt of his gun. A gunfighter.
If you're thinking it over, you're wasting my time.
Better do it, Dan.
All right, Hunsaker.
I'll take the black with the star on his face. Put a rope on him. I said put a rope on him.
Not that one. He ain't mine.
I ain't asking whose he is. Put a rope on him.
Any other horse, anyone you want, even Trey.
Get that horse and keep your hand away from that gun.
Dan, do what he says. You can give young Ben the Palomino. He's just a kid, and a horse is a horse. He'll forget about it.
No, he won't, Sam. He won't never forget it.
Pronto, friend. Put a rope on that black pronto.
There wasn't nothing else to do. Hunsaker saddled Ben's horse and just lit out down the trail. Me and Sam just stood there. We were still standing there when Ben brought the buckboard back from town. I watched his eyes go to the corral like they always did, and then he turned and looked at me and Sam like we was a firing squad.
Where's my horse, Dan?
I told him. His face was like stone, but there was a change in his eyes. They got back that same look they had the day I picked him up half dead on the desert. Lost and robbed and helpless.
You let him take my horse.
Well, that Palomino's worth twice as much, boy.
Not to me, Dan. The Palomino ain't mine.
Yes, he is. Because I'm giving him to you.
I don't want him. I want my own horse.
Hey, simmer down, boy. You come back
let
here.
Let him go, Sam. Let him go. He'll cool off. We might as well unload this here buckboard.
All right, I'll drive her on up the house.
Get up there, boy.
Hey, Ben. Ben, wait. Hey, that fool kid ain't even using a saddle.
Crazy. He's going after Hunsaker. What? Hurry up, Sam. Saddle up. Hurry up.
He was riding hard and light, and we was distance before we even got started. But we followed the cloud of dust that trailed after him. Then sundown hit, and he was lost somewheres in the night.
There ain't much chance to find him now, unless he stops and strikes fire.
He won't stop. Yeah, be a moon pretty quick.
Hey, wait. Listen.
Yeah, it's a horse. Oh. Must be over at the edge of that ridge.
Hey, let's take a look. Hey, it's a horse, all right.
Looks like the roan the kid was riding.
There's something else there, too. On the ground.
We rode up. There was another horse on the ground. And in the light of the moon, I could see the white star on its black face. Ben was sitting on the ground beside it. A few feet away was the body of a man. I rolled it over, face up. It was an Indian. There was a bullet hole in his head.
What happened, Ben?
I don't know. This is the way I found him.
What's wrong with Darby?
His leg's broken.
Oh. Or I must have stepped in a chuck hole.
Yeah. Then the Indian come by and Hunziker give him a bullet in exchange for his horse.
Huh?
Tracks in the dirt there.
It's a good thing the boy didn't catch up with him.
Yeah, it is. That's a bad break he's got there, boy.
I know.
Ain't nothing you can do for him.
I know.
Well, now, why don't you just ride on back to the ranch of Sam?
Yeah.
I'll stay here for a while and catch up with you later.
You don't have to do that. Lend me your gun.
Oh, now, look, boy, let's ride off, you and me.
No. He's my horse, Dan, and I've got the right to shoot him.
Yeah, Ben, I reckon you have. Here's my gun. Come on, boy.
I'm coming.
Well, me and Sam will walk off a little ways, Ben. Give you a chance to just bawl if you want to. Get it off of your chest.
I'm ready to ride with you. I ain't gonna cry, Dan.
He didn't cry. He hadn't cried when I picked him up off of the desert, and he didn't cry then. But the tears was inside of him someplace where they couldn't get out. Never showed in his eyes, though. Something else showed there instead. It was hate. A hate like a pure white flame. I could see it burning there when we got back to the ranch that night.
What'd you say his name was, Dan?
Who's that? Whose name?
The man who took Star.
Hannigan, I think. Yeah, Jim Hannigan.
That isn't what you said before, Dan. I want to know.
Hunziker. Kirby Hunziker.
You better go in and get some sleep, boy.
Ben, you can have your pick of anything in the corral.
I don't want another horse.
Well, when you see something that you do want, you just holler it's yours. That's a promise.
Anything, Dan?
Anything.
All right, then. I'll take your gun.
My gun?
You promised, Dan.
I promise. Here. It's yours.
Good night, Dan.
Good night, Ben.
Why, in all my days, I never heard of such a lame brain thing. It's giving a kid like that a gun.
Now, he'd have got one somewhere sooner or later. And if I know him right, it best be soon.
Oh, he's only a boy.
13. He'll get to be a man fast in the next few years.
And we can hope for him to get better sense.
You're just wasting your hope, Sam. I'm turning mine the other way. I'm hoping that Kirby Hunziker don't never come back here.
Sometimes after years of scientific research, there comes a discovery that benefits everyone. Xylene is that kind of discovery. Xylene is a super gasoline component with one of the highest anti-knock ratings known to science. And today, Xylene benefits you whenever you use Richfield gasoline. Your car comes alive with new flashing power when you use Richfield gasoline with Xylene. For faster getaway in traffic, for new sustained power, for higher than ever anti-knock qualities, Richfield gasoline with Xylene is made to order. Get Richfield high octane at regular price for the average motor. Or Richfield Ethyl. Ethyl at its best for finest results in the highest compression motors. Each Richfield gasoline contains Xylene. Each is a leader in its class. Tomorrow, get a tank full of Richfield gasoline with Xylene. Test it against the gasoline you're now using. Feel that Xylene zip. Stop where you see the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps for Richfield gasoline with Xylene. And now we return you to Escape.
A boy and a gun. They were together night and day. Ben kept it with him in his sleep, not under the pillow, but next to his cheek, and you could see the red marks of the barrel on the side of his face when he'd get up in the morning. Rest of the time, it was belted around him. And when he wasn't working, he'd go off alone into the hills for target practice, and the target he used was an express company reward poster for Kirby Hunziker. After the shots were all hitting the target, hitting close and fast, he stopped firing and was off on something else, the draw. I'd catch him at it in the house or in the barn, wherever he thought he was alone. He started to wear his belt different, too, with the gun holster tied low on his right hip and his right hand hung by his side like a claw. And it got more claw-like with the passing years. Rest of him had changed, too. He wasn't a boy no more. He was a man. We heard about Kirby Hunziker more and more. We heard about him. His name had gotten big since he took a kid's horse. Got to be one of the three names mentioned most when the talk in the saloons turned to gunslingers. Jim Dunn, Boaz Watson, and Kirby Hunziker. Killers for hire for any dirty job outside of the law. But all jealous of each other, all bound to meet someday and find out who'd be just a flick faster on the draw. And Ben had to be there the night a stray cowpuncher stopped in to rest his horse.
More coffee, stranger?
Thanks, sir. Reckon I will.
Watered your horse. Sure needed it. You must have come a long way.
Yeah, from Goldfield. Been riding lucky, though. I come through Flagstaff just in time to see the fight.
What fight?
You mean you ain't heard about it? I must have been riding faster than I thought. You ought to have seen it. Never was a gunfight like it.
Who was in it?
Two of the best. Big Jim Dunn and Kirby Hunziker.
Ben grabbed the edge of the table and his face got as white as borax, like a lead bullet had hit him in the guts.
Which one of them got it?
I prayed for the right answer. The answer that would have been right for me, not the one Ben wanted.
Oh, Hunziker beat him. Dunn never cleared his holster.
Color come back into Ben's face, and that pure white flame of hate burned in his eyes again.
Hunziker got the draw on Big Jim Dunn?
Oh, yeah. I wish I could have stayed in Flagstaff. Boaz Watson's someplace in the territory, too, and as soon as he gets wind of it, he'll be on Hunziker's trail for a showdown.
Well, if Dunn never cleared his holster, then the man ain't born that can outdraw Hunziker.
Boaz Watson thinks he can. He's been itching for the chance.
It's a chance he ain't gonna get.
Ben, where are you going to?
Just thought I'd take a little ride, Dan.
Flagstaff?
Flagstaff, Dan. And don't try to stop me.
Trying to stop him would have been like trying to stop an avalanche, but he couldn't stop me from following, neither. He rode day and night, trading mounts on the way, and I was an hour behind him when he reached Flagstaff on the third morning of his ride and started his hunt. He tried the hotel, the express office, and one by one the saloons, asking the questions and seeing faces go blank. He was easy to find when I got to town. He left a trail of questions behind him, and I found him in the last saloon on the street. Still asking.
Did you hear what I asked you, bartender?
Yeah, I heard. How should I know?
Does he ever come in here?
Well, I just serve drinks. I don't watch who comes and goes.
I'm tired of walking and I'm tired of talking. I want an answer.
Well, I reckon he comes in sometimes.
When?
Usually about an hour from now.
Good. I'll wait.
Gonna buy me a drink, Ben?
If that's what you came for, Dan.
Been rough trailing you, boy. Men and horses ain't meant to be pushed that hard.
I was in a hurry.
Well, maybe we can take it easier going back. Maybe if we left right now, we could camp out someplace tonight like we used to.
Ask me later, Dan. This is something I gotta do first.
He wouldn't drink, and he wouldn't leave. He just stood there waiting, looking at nothing. He might have been carved out of rock. There wasn't a nerve in him. And then I heard the door swing the way it had a couple of times before, only this time it was different. The talk around the table's cut out, the bartender's hands tightened around the glass he'd been wiping. Every head in the place turned towards the door. It was Kirby Hunziker. I knew that face. It had grown heavier and crueler, but I knew it. He stood there in the doorway while them bear trap eyes of his searched the room, moving first from gun belt to gun belt, flicking an extra bead on the ones that hung low, looking for the hands without gloves. Then his glance come up to face level, like a assayer examining ore. Well, him and Ben hadn't never seen each other before, but somehow they knew each other. Their eyes caught and held, like two longhorns locked together.
I hear somebody's looking for me. In case anybody don't know me, name's Kirby Hunziker.
I'm looking for you.
Speak your piece.
A long time ago, when I couldn't do anything about it, you stole a horse from me.
You calling me a horse thief?
You ran him into a chuck hole and you left him with a broken leg. I had to shoot him.
You got nerve. Name your price. I might pay it.
You'll pay it. My price is the life of the man who stole that horse.
You got a gun. Dig for it.
You move first, Hunziker.
I'm giving you an edge. Better take it.
No. I want to give you a little time, Hunziker. If I draw first, then you got to move without thinking. But I want you to think. I want you to think and decide and worry.
You're talking big. A little too big.
I want to give you time, like you gave it to a horse with a broken leg. Because you won't draw fast enough, Hunziker. Not even if you move first. I'm going down to the livery stable to take a nap. At sundown, I'm coming back up the street, and I don't want anybody on it. You better shoot me in the back while I'm going out that door, because if you don't, I'm going to kill you, Hunziker.
The flame was in Hunziker's eyes, too. But it was a man's hate, not pure and white, but diluted with the memory of the way Ben's gun hung, and diluted with just a shadow of fear. Ben went back and slept, like he said. I sat beside him for the best part of an hour. Then I shook him, kind of gentle. Sun's hanging pretty low, Ben. Just about time to get up and wash.
Why don't you start for home, Dan? I'll catch up to you later.
Well, I thought that I'd wait up at the hotel.
All right, Dan. See you later.
Yeah, man. I'll see you later. So here I am, in the window of the hotel, and yonder he is in the street, him and Kirby Hunziker, walking towards each other. And the town is so quiet you can hear their steps on the boardwalk. The fingers of the right hands is clawed like hooks, almost touching the gun butts. Don't even seem like the sun is moving anymore. Like even the shadows is glued there on the ground waiting for one of them hands to move. Because when it comes, it'll come fast.
Better dig, Hunziker.
You punk.
I'm going to collect for that horse. That's your receipt, Hunziker.
Ben! Ben! Ben, are you all right, boy?
I'm all right. Let's walk.
Well, it's all over now, boy. Let's saddle up and go on home.
Hey, wait!
It's a blacksmith. Guess the horses are ready.
Express rider came in just after you left before. Boys, Watson is riding in. He met him on the trail. You gonna stay and meet him?
Me? I got no quarrel with Boaz Watson.
Well, looks like you will have. He was mighty keen on meeting up with Hunziker. Looks like you've taken over Hunziker's place.
You'd better go in alone, Dan.
Why? What do you mean, Ben?
I killed Hunsaker. Now every gunslinger looking for a reputation will try to get it by killing me. From now on, I gotta fight or run.
Well, I'll stay with you. I've been holed up in one place too long anyhow.
No, like... Dan. This is where we gotta split. Right now. Thanks for everything. I'll never forget you. Goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye, Ben. Goodbye, boy. Goodbye, son. Yeah, he's a gunfighter now. A gunslinging madman will see to that. But he won't never be an outlaw like Kirby Hunsaker or Boaz Watson or Jim Dunn. He'd kill if they force him to it. But ain't nobody never gonna buy his gun for killing. Cause he's got to own something. Desert took his family. I couldn't make up for him. Kirby Hunsaker took his horse. And he'll never really own another one. But there's one thing he's got in this world. That gun. That gun is his. He owns it.
No one wants to have car trouble, especially on a vacation trip. But sometimes we forget that faulty or neglected lubrication can cause wear and breakdown in any car. To keep trouble away, see the Richfield gasoline dealer tomorrow. Get all-point protection against summer wear and breakdown with Richfield all-point safety service. This service gives your car the extra protection of new Rich Lube lithium lubricant, the premium lubricant that's better always. And Richfield all-point safety service also includes all-point lubrication of your chassis, transmission, differential, and wheel bearings. And to protect your motor in hot summer driving, the Richfield dealer puts in fresh, clean, Rich Lube all-weather motor oil. The Pennsylvania premium grade oil that cleans as it lubricates. But that's not all. As a final precaution, the Richfield dealer makes a safety check of your battery, tires, spark plugs, and radiator. So tomorrow, stop where you see the Richfield Eagle and the cream and blue pumps. Protect your car with Richfield all-point safety service. Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson, and tonight has presented Sundown by Joel Murcott. Featured in the cast were Barton Yarbrough as Dan, Sam Edwards as Ben, Will Gear as Sam, Ted Osborne as Hunsaker, John Ramsey Hill as young Ben, and also heard were Paul Priest and John Daner. Special music arranged and played by Ivan Dittmars. Next week...
You are trapped on a dwindling sandbar amid the rushing waters of a South American jungle river. Night is coming, and with it hordes of Amazonian vampire bats. The river surrounding you teems with ferocious piranha, the cannibal fish, from whom there is no escape.
Next week at this time, the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York invites you to escape to the jungles of South America with a seething tale of terror and violence, as James Poe tells it in Bloodbath, starring Vincent Price. Goodbye, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. Tom Hanlon speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.